Was this the Peyton Thorne redemption game?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. We're ready to get after it. Kick off Iron Bowl week. And we get to kick it off with a win to discuss a little bit further before we switch gears and focus completely on this big, big-time rivalry, this big opportunity for Auburn to cap off, sort of back their way into a bowl game and cap it off with hopefully two big wins that can really propel them to into some momentum headed into the offseason and into next year. But today I want to talk more about Peyton Thorne. I think it's his best game as an Auburn Tiger. What all that means, kind of go back through his season, talk about how receivers finally doing what we thought, what the whole plan was to hopefully elevate the play of the quarterback, and then the sales pitch. I think this was a big-time sales pitch for future quarterbacks from the portal and wide receivers. So before we get started with that, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% deposit bonus in the casino. So give whatever you give them, they're going to multiply it by three and give it back to you in free play to play with. So maybe you can win a bunch with the free play and then hit the sports book and bet parlays, teasers, whatever, however you want to do it. Every sport you can imagine, every line that you can imagine, they have it there. So check them out, mybookie.ag. Again, I think this was Peyton's best game as an Auburn Tiger. He played tough. He played efficient. He completed over, I believe, right at 60% of his passes, two touchdowns, over 300 yards. That's the third time this season he's gone over 300 yards, which I think when you talk to most schools, they just kind of laugh and they're like, okay, what's the big deal? Well, Auburn just doesn't typically have a bunch of 300-yard passing games. For whatever reason, that's just not been a part of Auburn football history. You don't even have to say recent history. You could just say ever history. You've only had just a handful, maybe only two, seasons where the quarterback threw for over 3,000 yards. So for him to have a big game against a good opponent, this was, to me, easily his best game. You know, he's sneakily having a decent season, sort of backing his way into a season statistically, averaging over 240 yards a game, which if you don't sit out a game, you're on pace. You know, you're on pace for 3,000 yards, which would be historic for Auburn. 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I mean, that's not a bad touchdown to interception ratio. After the 4 interceptions he threw in the Cal game, which arguably 2 of them weren't necessarily on him. I guess you could say the one where he got hit and threw an interception, he held the ball a little bit too long. The other one went off Cam Coleman's hands. But since then, he's only thrown 4 interceptions in 8 games. He's protected the ball. A lot of his stats, this is a big thing. A lot of the criticism of him, understand and justifiably so, is that he can perform against the non-conference, the P5 teams. It's the good teams is where he just can't win one. He can't perform. And there's some credence to that. I mean, out of 20 touchdowns, 9 of them came against Louisiana Monroe and Alabama A&M. So he's thrown almost half of his touchdowns versus in those two games against, you know, far inferior opponents. But he did it against a good opponent, a really good opponent. I think Texas A&M's defense is one of the most talented defenses in the country. The defensive line is easily one of the more talented defensive lines in the whole country. And he was able to, I mean, with the help of his offensive line and receivers, he was able to have a very, very efficient, a very good game. He was able to go beyond just don't screw it up. He was relied upon to actually be able to make plays, made a couple of big third down throws, made a couple of big runs late in downs. Obviously, we talked about the one where he converted on fourth down on the last drive. That 23-yard run could be considered the play of the game. Doing it against a good opponent, that's something that sort of escaped him. He's played well at times. The Oklahoma game, I mean, I think if we could erase that interception, that was an incredible game. You could honestly argue that that was a better performance than Texas A&M. Only you had the crucial turnover that actually cost you the game. But I mean, that was one of his other games where he threw for over 300 yards. Was really lighting them up, and then had a little bit of a lull. They hit a big play, and then obviously you throw the interception. If you win that game, it's a toss-up really between which game was his best game. I still lean towards Texas A&M because of all the things they had riding on that game. Like, I mean, that was it. That knocked them out of the playoff talk. That probably knocked them out of the SEC championship talk. It was just they had everything on the line. And Auburn basically got to play free and just beat them. Just beat them. Honestly, for more periods of the game than not, really controlled the game. I mean, they did get back into it, but still, I just think Peyton played really well. Ultimately, this is the thing that I think hurt him the most. And I think this is why the messaging was always from Hugh that he's played solid. That was the quote that was used a lot. For reasons that I can understand, but I'm after watching it play out in hindsight, obviously they were not the right reasons. We changed our philosophy a little bit after that Oklahoma game. The philosophy changed from the way that we do things, which is, run a little bit of tempo. Don't be afraid to throw the ball around. Take some chances to really going into a shell of ourselves, going into in my opinion, let's don't let Peyton lose it mentality. And a lot of that is on Peyton. Some of it's on some of it's on decision-making from the coaching staff and play calling and situational play calling. But some of it was on Peyton too. Like there are times where it's, it was that the turnover is what gave the game away. Peyton would lose it. But what you did is you completely go into this shell of this small ball, protect the ball, and it's just not who you are. It's just not who this offense, I believe, will ever be, which may be sometimes maybe frustrating, especially when maybe you're trying to put a game away. Can this offense go into a protect mode and grind the clock out? That's one thing that will really remains to be seen, because every time Auburn tries to go a little, every time this team tried to go conservative a little bit this year, it was like they were running in mud. It was like they were going up against a gale force wind and they just couldn't make anything happen. And then against ULM, you've kind of reverted back to screw it, whatever happens, happens type mentality, which I've been saying for a few weeks. But on the flip side, I also said at the beginning of the year, you need to go a little bit more conservative. So everything's easier in hindsight, but it did seem like once we went conservative, it really, Peyton has some limitations. And when you take away a lot of the aspects of this offense that make it so hard to defend, and you really condense it like they said they did. We're gonna simplify things. We're gonna make things easier. What it does is it makes this offense predictable. It makes it easy to defend, and you can just basically, if you just play safe, they're gonna drive and screw something up, and then you're fine. It's just not built to go 12, 13 plays. It's just not, built to do that. Now, maybe it gets that way through recruiting and development, but that was not the identity of this team. The team could not just, you know, walk down the field 10 plus plays. That's just not who this team was. So after ULM, they kind of went back to the throw it around thing. And I was like, man, please just, if you just keep that mindset, he may throw 5 interceptions, who knows, but the only chance you have to beat Texas A&M, this very, very stout defense, is you got to keep them off balance. If they know it's run first, we're in trouble. If they're sort of off balance a little bit, not really sure to know if we're going to run or pass, then we got them where we want them. And I think that's the key to this offense. And that was the key to really Peyton having success too. It goes both ways. If they know we're going to run it, it makes it easy to stop the run. And if we can't, if that's what we're playing off of, it makes the passing game kind of bog down as well. So when we're just running and gunning, doing what we have to do, running tempo, it makes a great recipe for success for Peyton. I hope you carry that into the Iron Bowl. But he just needed this one. He needed this one now here's the big key. Now, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe I'm giving us too much credit as a fan base. There are people out there, and this is in all walks of life, that root for their narrative more than the whatever item you're watching. So, for example, it Auburn could win, but I want Auburn to win with my narrative. I don't want Auburn to win, just win. You know, so people that even if Peyton made a touchdown pass, people were going to critique where the ball placement was. If Peyton got a first down, they're going to critique how he got a first down because the narrative is Peyton shouldn't be in there. I don't want Peyton in there. But now that he won this game, I really think for the first time in maybe multiple years, and I could be wrong. Again, I may be giving us too much credit. I think Auburn, we can go into that Iron Bowl and just hope to win. I don't think it's going to be you need to bench Peyton. You need to start Hank. You need to do this. You need to get rid of Peyton. Peyton sucks, all this kind of stuff. I don't think it's going to be that because of this win. I think everybody can just sort of get behind the team and hope that they can go into Tuscaloosa and pull off the upset with no narratives. And I think that's fun. To me, that last year when – or not last year, 2 years ago when Harsin was fired, those last 3 games were very freeing because – there was no narrative. You just wanted to win. And I think that's what I think that's where we're going to be as a fan base going into this Iron Bowl because of that win against Texas A&M. And I think that's going to be a much more entertaining way to watch the game. So, again, I think this was his best game. He really needed it. Auburn really needed it. And I think it was beneficial to a lot of aspects of the future as well. Receivers. Last year we talked about the argument for keeping Peyton, the argument for not overspending and building around is that if we can get talent that surrounds him, if we get talent that can surround him, it will elevate his play. And you know, common sense wise, if you're just walking the logic out, it makes sense. But we just, because you could think about several games last year, I can think of a particular scenario. Brock Bowers scores for Georgia to take the lead, and Peyton has to take us down the field. And there were multiple opportunities to make plays as receivers, and they couldn't do it. And they were, again, catchable, not necessarily crediting them with drops, but catchable plays to be made. And we didn't have the talent at the time to make those plays. Fast forward and you look at some of the catches that were made in that Texas A&M game and really throughout the season, receivers can really elevate your quarterback play. Think about the catch, some of the catches from the game. Obviously, the 2-point conversion catch at the end is one to remember. the Keandre Lambert Smith, another catch from him was when the game's tied and Auburn needed to gain some momentum back, and he had the 44-yard rollout pass catch where he caught it on top of somebody. One catch that's going to be forgotten, which really got everything going, was on a free play on the very first drive of the game. Cam Coleman with the back shoulder adjustment on the free play and the catch around the 3 or 4 yard line. I just don't know that we had those guys last year, and you're starting to not only did you bring them in this one class, but I think you got the opportunity to stack them up in this coming class. When you look at guys like Derek Smith, and you look at some of the highlights he can make, some of the highlights he made in his last playoff game, receivers can absolutely elevate play. And that's something that this game helped sort of, I guess, magnify. So it's a really good recruiting tool for that. I think it's also a really good recruiting tool and a good sales pitch for the future. Look at who you get to come possibly throw to. You got Malcolm Simmons, who's a spark plug. You got Cam Coleman, who sort of he's a freak of nature. They talked about it, and I think Peyton said after the game, when I first saw him run around, it's like, there's no way this kid's only 18 years old. And he's healthy over these last couple of games, and he's been explosive. I mean, I think he's had, over 200 or 300 yards over the last two games, and, multiple touchdowns, maybe five touchdowns in the last two games, at least four touchdowns. I think five touchdowns in the last two games. I mean, been dominant. And you put that on display Saturday, and quarterbacks see that, and they not only can see the opportunity with the wide receivers, and they can see that, hey, they can go find me a guy like Keandre Lambert Smith. Like, look at that evaluation and acquisition and nailing it and featuring him. Even if I think they're not quite there all the way as far as a complete wide receiver room going into next year, they show the ability to be able to go find somebody that, what they did 2 years ago, that was kind of, flukish. They've got their personnel in place now, and they're nailing these evals. So it's just, that game was big for Peyton, but it was just so big for Auburn in so many ways. So I think when you're trying to sell to, a high school quarterback, when you're trying to sell to a portal quarterback, they can see things that we don't see. They can see some of the limitations Peyton has, and he could have been on pace for 3,000 yards had he not been benched, which I totally understand why he was benched. So, I mean, you throw four interceptions, stacked on top of the way you performed last year at times. Like, I totally understand why he got benched, but they can see the limitations, and they can see where they may be a little bit better than him. And like, man, if this guy can do this, screw the wins. Look at the numbers that he's put up. Look at the plays they're asking him to execute. If you put me in those positions, what does it look like? I feel like I can, I can perform even better. So I just think, number one, just for Peyton's mental, for his mental and being able to, sort of exercise some demons and get the monkey off of his back, it was big. It's big for Auburn to go into this Iron Bowl with no narratives. I think we just go in trying to win, and that just is, and that's it. That's the end of the story. We just want to win. Not going to talk about who needs to play quarterback, who needs to do this, who needs to do that. We just want to win. And then the sales pitch for the future. It's big. It's big. Auburn's going to be in a fierce battle, I think, for a portal quarterback. And there's going to be a lot of teams that want portal quarterbacks, that need a quarterback. So they're going to have to go up against a bunch, and you're going to have to sell why Auburn's the better spot. And I think that performance on Saturday will go a really, really long way. Hopefully you can piggyback off of it and do it again this coming Saturday. We're going to switch gears We're going to obviously discuss Hugh's press conference today, Tiger Talk, all that stuff, anything that we're developed in recruiting between now and then. But I want to shift gears and really focus on this Iron Bowl. It's Iron Bowl week, and you got to get ready for this big matchup. Hopefully Auburn can somehow squeak out a win and backdoor into bowl eligibility. That'd be a pretty epic conclusion to the season. So we'll jump into that starting tomorrow. Guys, I really appreciate it. Again, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. We're going to be back every single day this week. It's Iron Bowl week. We got to get crunk. We got to get ready to go because we need this win on Saturday. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.